Hello, and welcome to Sounding Out with Izzy, the podcast where we have conversations with musicians, music producers, publicists, live promoters, zine makers, journalists, and more about their experiences working in the music industry as women, non-binary, and queer people. I'm your host, Isabel Korp, the founder of the queer femme music-based blog and YouTube channel, A Girl's Two Sound Sense. Today, I chat with the noisy post-punk Brooklynites Mary Shelley. In this sprawling conversation, we chat all about their wild and chaotic live shows, their hilariously profane and satirical lyrics about boring human interactions, a funny tour story about a particularly tense interaction they had with a well-known indie band they played a show with, and I also have them name some of their favorite local bands they've never played a show with that are on their bucket list. And without further ado, let's get right into this episode. I want to put you on the spot for a second, Taylor, because I feel like y'all adding her to the band was just like unlocked something really cool. So how did you initially like get roped into this circle, and how has the process been working with these crazy lads?
Crazy lads indeed. But I too am a crazy lad, so that's how it all works together. But basically, it all started. I moved here like almost 2 years ago, and then like a little bit of time passes by, and I'm talking to my friend Justin. And well, first of all, Sam and I went to the same guitar studio like as children to take lessons and stuff, and we did recitals and yada yada, but we were like truly baby children. Shells of who we are today.
Prepubescent.
Yeah, very prepubescent. And then we also ended up going to college together. And meanwhile, none of this time ever starting a band or anything like that.
We did play music in that children's show, though, together.
Yep, we did. We did.
That's about all the music we played together.
Yeah. But we were always like outside each other's circles, peeking out. And then Justin, our friend, was kind of like the bridge between us, and he was like, oh, Taylor wants to be in a band. He thought I wanted to have like a solo band and like do that journey, but no, I was happy to just join that band instead. And then yeah, we played Arlene's, and I feel like that was kind of my like trial run. Whether they felt that way or not, I don't know, but that's how I felt. And then the rest is history, and I just had to learn a bunch of songs.
And learning those songs, like, what's been one of like the scariest but also coolest experiences for you?
I guess it was just like, I mean, I didn't really get a chance to like, I mean, I was anxious about it, but like there wasn't really room or like time for anxiety, because we quickly had to put a show together like in a few weeks. So I just like shoved them into my brain. Honestly, like, yeah, it's still, I feel like there's still a few songs that like we like dig up and they're like, oh yeah, we can totally do that. Like, and I'm like, derp, give me a minute. But I love playing these songs. I really do. I'm not just saying that. Like, and that was why they were so easy, like initially, to get into and learn and like put my own whatever flair on, if any, like, you know. And then we've come up with stuff in the studio, like, and that's been so much fun. So it's been just kind of a normal part of my everyday life now.
That's awesome. So another question I had was, the reason why we're all here right now is because of a mutual friend who also happens to be your manager, Sam. Shout out, Sam. So like back when y'all met, because I want to hear this story from your side. I remember her like telling me that the first time she saw y'all at a venue, she kind of just ran up to you and just yelled, "Do you have a manager?" Like with no context. Like that's the version that I got. So like, what do you remember from that night?
Pretty true to form. We like played a show and she like, well, I guess, let's see, saying it like just purely from our perspective was like, yeah, this like very energetic woman came up to us and was like, "You guys are so awesome. Like, do you have a manager? I want to be your manager. Like, I feel like that," whatever, the guy who like found the Strokes and became their manager. She's like, "I feel just like that guy. Like, I want to be your manager. Let's talk. Let's set up a meeting." And then we were like, I mean, nobody's ever asked to, well, I guess we maybe had like, we've had a couple people, like friends, be like, "Oh, we want to be your manager." And we're like, "Oh yeah, you can manage us." And then like, they don't really like, it just doesn't happen. It's more just like party conversation. But she was like, "Yeah, like I really want to be your manager. Let's set up a meeting." And she talked to just Jackson. I don't think she got a chance to talk to Charlie. And so then we like got on a call with Charlie and we're like, "There's this, somebody was at our show that like wants to be our manager." And he was like, "Well, hold on. Let's, you know, let's be rational about this. You know, we don't want to like make sure we don't have to pay her too much money, you know, that sort of thing." And then we hop on a call with her and she was like, "I want to do this for free. Like, I love you guys so much. We'll work out payment later on down the road and stuff." And we have now since, but at the time, like she was just like so gung ho about doing it that it was like her being so energetic and like so positive and like really believing in us. We were like, "Of course, you're a manager." And it's been nothing but great since.
Yeah.
Could not have had a better manager if they fell out of the sky.
Mm-hmm. And she kind of did.
And she did. Yeah. Yeah.
Just landed, stuck the landing and appeared right in mm-hmm. front of you. She just emerged. Like, you know how
tumbled down the basement of Berlin.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It definitely expedited our, I think, our time because everybody knows Sam. So it felt like being friends with like Elvis, like at times, and at least in the Brooklyn local scene where it's like, it was very easy to kind of start getting more shows and connecting to more bands through her.
Yeah. She really legitimized us. Around Brooklyn.
Yeah, I bet. Couldn't be better connected, honestly. Just like, and when it comes to like one person, that's pretty great.
She's a pillar of the scene, pillar of the community.
Direct quote, Charlie Hall.
I'll back her. She runs for president. That's fine. I'll do it.
Yeah. I'll take it, honestly. Sam for president. Yep. Let's go.
Yeah.
2024.
Yeah.
So y'all say on your Instagram that you're for Brooklyn farmers. May I ask what exactly you're farming?
Crypto.
The hits? No. We're just crypto mining all day and night.
Yeah,
I think it's the, like, it looks like a corn emoji, but it's actually like little Bitcoin nuggets.
Yeah, it's gold, made of gold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we keep coming up with new things to throw in that. I think that was from like, we did like a stint, and we still do it every once in a while. We dress kind of like a, you know, a nice Americana family band. We become like the Mary Shelley family band experience. But then, like, you know, we've been called, you know, we played a show one time with a band called Sheer Mag, who referred to us as trust fund punk. We thought that was very funny. A little rude, but also funny. So we decided to list that as now our new, like, that was Taylor's idea to list that as like our mantra, even though they were kind of shit talking us, we thought it was funny. And so we just kind of like to throw different stuff down there to like be more fun. And like, I think I was like, I used to put like, you know, post-punk new cool music group, and it's just like, it's, you know, they either click on the page or they don't. Like, they're not gonna stay for your genre categorization or anything,
right? They're gonna stay for the energy. It doesn't matter like what label tag you slap onto something.
Yeah,
Yeah, I wanted to ask about that Sheer Mag quote, actually, because, like, was that, like, at the show y'all played with them? Like, was it on the spot?
Like, what was the yeah, they were, like, well, Charlie heard.
Charlie could explain.
It deserves some explanation, because I don't want it to make it sound like they, like, walked up to us and were like, you guys suck.
No, they were talking behind our back.
Yeah, they were just, I felt they were a little aloof. Especially for dudes who had to ask. They were playing on stage, the guitarist, one of two, I think, didn't have a guitar tuner. So he's like, can I get a guitar tuner? And nobody did anything. And they go, seriously, can I get a guitar tuner? And Jackson went and let him borrow Jackson's.
I also brought my guitar tuner.
And Sam also brought his guitar tuner. And then later after the show, they were smoking some cigs outside or something. I was walking up, bringing my stuff down. And in that show, we performed in our like pink nighties. And then by that time, I was already in civilian clothes. So he probably didn't recognize me. I just caught him saying something about like, oh yeah, a bunch of trust fund punks. I was like, well, fuck you, man. You've got a bowl cut and you don't have your own guitar tutor.
Yeah, you took both of ours. Charlie. Now we don't. Now you do. You're welcome.
That's funny.
I love how you just are owning it, and now it's in your Instagram bio. That's amazing. Also wanted to ask about, basically, you mentioned like the costuming and like the cosplay you do on stage a bit, like, I don't know, hospital gowns or just like farmer getup on stage. It feels like, I know y'all, like, some of you have a background in theater, so do you think it might be a little rooted in that?
Did it start when we did the photo shoot for the first album, right?
Yeah,
did we wear costumes before then?
No, not really.
Okay, so we did a photo shoot, and we were, the concept for the photo shoot that we had was, like, night wear. We were going to wear, like, I found, like, a clipping from a newspaper that was... like this, like classy. It almost, they looked like suits, but they were like pajamas. So that was like the concept. And then we kind of like didn't have anything that like looked good when we did that. But then Sam brought her nightwear, which was like pink robes and pink nighties, like lingerie stuff. So we were like, this looks way more uniform, and it looks really good against this blue background. So we wore those, and then we ended up using that for the album cover. Eventually, because we were scrambling to have an album cover. And then we wore them for our album release show. And then we kind of just like never stopped wearing those outfits. And then we were like, let's come up with new outfits. So then we kind of just became like a outfits band.
That'll be the genre tag, outfits band.
Outfits band. Yeah, we're a total gimmick.
Shock rock.
Gotta get a gimmick, man.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, brother. Instagram's a gimmick, ain't it?
We play with a dog on stage. That's our thing.
Like a like a live dog?
We were about to, yeah.
Yeah. Gotta make him howl.
But I think it's fun when you see like a band, like I think we're like, it's kind of fun when you see a band you don't totally know what's going on. I think that's always like one of the best things. And I think yeah, all of our backgrounds in theater and stuff like that, it's kind of fun when like not everybody's in on the thing, because it makes you lean forward a little bit more versus if it's just like, oh, it's a band, they're doing their thing. But like, if they're all like wearing hospital gowns, it's like, what?
Yeah, it did progress to where like the outfits would then turn us into different characters, like the farmers, like we were actually farmers on stage, or like one time
we're actually related. And yeah,
we were like siblings that were Fleetwood Mac-ing, I guess. And then there was a time we did like an insurance company that was like, we were doing like a tryouts for a community basketball team, and then we all got laid off at the end of the show.
Oh yeah, that's a fun one. We should bring that one back. We did the concert as Shellcare. It was a quarterly merger. Yeah, we did it as, yeah. We wasn't for Shellcare back then, but we do want to start maybe the next show we'll do is like, yeah, it's a promotional event for Shell Care, which is an insurance we're going to start selling to insure good music, maybe insurance for your ears or something. We'll figure it out. It's still a prototype.
Yeah, I definitely want to hear some updates on the insurance company. That's a concept for sure.
That's our side hustle. That's
it's gotta be like when we get a Patreon, it's called Shell Care.
Yeah. Sign up for Shell Care Plus. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's the exclusive bonus content that one might get for when they sign up for Shell Care Plus?
Oh, that's great.
We'll finally let people hear the song No Choice recorded that Charlie wishes we released.
Yeah. Butt implants.
Yeah, and of course, butt implants. Yeah.
Butt implants. Butt implants.
The only medical procedure we cover are
BBLs.
Our BBLs, Brazilian butt lifts.
Yeah.
If we do butt nipples too.
Yeah.
Butt nipples too.
We'll only cover butt lowerings and nipple enlargements. Those are the only two procedures we will cover on Shell Care Plus. Everything else is a huge copay. It's basically the
Healthcare price. Platinum, though, that's coming out Q2 2024, and we have an NDA up until that point.
Yes. It is going to be huge. Just keyword self-driving cars.
All I can say is invest now and then sell on October 14th.
And then sell hard.
That's illegal. You can't tell them.
No, it's public information. Just sell. Just sell.
Bet against us. Bet against us. We're not betting for, you know, like, we're betting against us too.
All our investors are pulling out now.
Yeah, it's like that one character on The Muppets where he just decided one day to order like an orthopedics like guide and have it shipped. And he's like, I'm a bone doctor now. And then he just like, there's one scene where he just like breaks Kermit's neck because he mentioned his neck was feeling bad.
There you go.
Sal, what happened? What did you do to Kerm?
What do you mean? I made him feel better. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'm just going to go study the chapter on pop-up pelvises.
Kerm, you okay, Kerm?
You know what, Clifford? The truth is, my neck actually feels better.
I told you!
I love how...
That's exactly what would it be.
I have another burning question for Jackson. Where does Shut the Fuck Up, You're a Pisces come from?
That comes from just party lingo. That whole song is just basically stuff I hear at parties that I don't like, or that I was very much more that I didn't like back in the day, which is like, just like, you know, people kind of just trying to, you know, people getting to know each other, and it's fine in retrospect, but like, it's just kind of like the things you'll hear is just like things like, you know, shut the fuck up, you're a Pisces. It's not like an actual, the delivery of the line is very, I think, different than what I had originally intended, which were things like, yeah, like, shut the fuck up, you're a Pisces. And like, people just kind of wanting to suck up the oxygen in a room and like, you know, basically people not wanting to actually converse, just kind of getting, wanting people to like look at them and see how smart they are and like see how quirky they are. And I think, I don't know. I think that's just kind of what that song's a little bit about. I mean, like the song's written with French lyrics by someone who doesn't know French. And I think that's kind of like the je ne sais quoi of it. I'm going to walk up the ledge.
Feel pretty good.
But I think that's where it comes from. Like, it was like little, shut the, oh my God, you're a Pisces. Oh my God, we got to get coffee. Oh my God, we'll get coffee. Absolutely. And then you never see that person for the rest of your life.
Yeah. That kind of like, I don't know, that kind of, those kind of talking points, I always find them just irritating in general, especially when people like to like use them against other people, like especially with astrology. Yeah. I know a friend, I know people, like two of my friends who are partners, like they literally had people tell them your relationship's never going to work because you're both Geminis. And it's like,
so they broke up, right? They like broke up right then.
Yeah,
because that right was like then, good advice.
It was over. Yeah, they were like, thank you, person. I will take your advice, person I've never listened to before. Yes.
Great friend advice. I mean, it's
proven science.
Great friend. Born in the same month, dump them. They're your best friend and they make you feel safe. Doesn't matter.
Exactly.
It's not in the cards for you, bro. Science, universe.
Yeah. oh, this is the best thing that's ever happened to you. Sorry, you can't go against science.
Yeah,
I regret to inform you that pseudoscience is fact. Haven't you heard?
Well, I'm glad they got to move on, you know, sooner rather than later.
Right. And yeah, I make that point to just be like, to that person who had the audacity to tell someone that, I say, shut the fuck up, and not in the nice way, not in the party way. But you guys have a new single coming out soon. And I don't feel like it's a departure, but I feel like it sort of like turns a new leaf for Mary Shelley's sound, because it sounds like a pop song, but it also has that like quintessential like kind of bite that most of your songs do. So do you want to tell me a little about how it came about?
I think we all improvised that one. Well, this was before, it started before Taylor was in the band, but it was like the three of us like all improvised it. And then originally it was like when we were improvising it, like Jackson was singing this like part over it, and then I really liked the riff, so then I had like this idea for it, and it's been through many iterations, and we were kind of sitting on it for a really long time, just being like, oh yeah, like this like as a, like, I feel like it's not like the bass part or the guitar part of the part that stands alone, it's like the three of them kind of together, and we're kind of like sitting on that because it really worked really well together. It's like, oh, we'll do something with this someday. And then we did a residency at Berlin Under A last summer, and we were like, we're gonna cobble together a new song each week, and that was the one of the songs we threw in. And at that time it was like we had Jackson's part and my part all in the song, and it was like too long and too many parts, and it seemed like the audience was like into it, but they didn't really like, weren't really able to like latch onto it. So we were kind of like trying different versions, like take this part or out or put this part in, and eventually just like got to the way it is now. And it never had like any harmonies on it. And then we recorded the song back in start of March in a studio, and it was sounding good. And then I like put the vocal down on the, and we were good with it, and we were like sitting in the studio listening to it. And then I kind of just like turned to Jackson and was like, should we like see if we can get some harmonies on this? Like, cause that chorus says like long drawn out lines, and that's just like inherently like good for harmonies. And then Jackson threw on some harmonies, and then Taylor threw on some harmonies, and it just like immediately it was like, oh, this song is like now, like before, like nothing in particular made the song, but now like to me what makes the song is the harmonies. It was like the thing that we added just like very last minute, just like off the top of our heads, like let's throw some harmonies on there. And like Taylor and Jackson just like sounded so good on them. Yeah, I don't think we ever thought about like the genre or like if it was a departure or not. I think originally we were kind of like ripping off Interpol, and they're a rock band, so it didn't necessarily seem as like much of a pop song until like it was finally finished. We were like, I think when we were on tour, like we were on tour with Sam Zalta, who's in the band Bambara, and he was like, he's like, that's just like such a solid pop song. And I was like, oh yeah, yeah, it's a pop song, you're right. Like, just never really thought about it that way.
Yeah, I feel like anything that lodges in your brain and is very earwormy in nature is a pop song to me.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I think like Nirvana is a pop band.
Yeah.
But like most people would call them a grunge band or a punk band, but they're just write pop songs.
Yeah. Even like you name dropped Interpol, like one of the first songs that ever sort of lodged into my brain was Evil, because my mom would play that when I was like four. So.
That's like one of my favorite songs of all time. I love that song so much.
So good.
Yeah. It's so entrancing, like with the first bass line.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Like I go to sleep thinking about too. It. Yeah.
Yeah. It's my lullaby.
Yeah. I have another question for Taylor. You mentioned earlier that you and Sam had gone to like guitar school or something together. and also went to college together. So like, when did you like initially like get into actively playing music, and what brought you to New York ultimately?
Well, it was weird because I always like had wanted to be in like a band like as a kid, but like it's so hard when you're a kid because, you know, you like have to rely on your like parents to drop you off, and you know, commitment is like wishy-washy with among the youth, which is totally fair, and there's a lot, but yeah, there was a lot of little projects I would start. And then I guess my most formative thing like that I think applies the most to Mary Shelley was I did this thing called Rockademy, and we would sort of organize like a theatrical experience around like a concept album or like a series of songs, and like try and make a like a rock opera or like a play out of it. And I feel like that, like all of that stuff really applies to kind of what we do now with like the bits and the fits and just our like
bits and the fits.
In the bits and the fits and the general like fantastical like storytelling of the band and those aspects. And then I moved to New York just really to pursue theater and music and art in general and to meet other artists. So far, so great. Yeah, definitely copped that theater degree and like haven't used it since, but I'm having a great time, like taking some time away from that and, you know, doing other things that I still think qualify as theater.
For sure. Yeah. At performing of any kind is theater.
Yeah.
For sure. If you're a public speaker, you're doing theater.
Yes, am I?
And I also wanted to ask a funny question, which is basically like, if y'all like look at your current music libraries, like on your phone or your laptop or whatever, and you have a list of things that are currently in heavy rotation, like on repeat, I feel like this is something that I normally experience, is there's always one song that you just look at and you're like, why is that there? What is that odd song out for y'all?
So this is like a weird song that we do play a lot, that you do still play a lot, but you're like, why, how did this thing work its way in? Or is it just one that like gets mentioned? You're like, how did this get recommended?
That you still play a lot, for sure.
You still play a lot.
Not an algorithm blip, like recommending something that shouldn't, yeah.
Mine is like a sound bath, like White Noise. But I mean, everybody's doing it these days. Mm. Listening to White Noise to go to sleep.
Yeah, I'm old fashioned. I just turn on the fan, analog.
Yeah, just analog White Noise.
Yeah.
I think mine would be When He Sees Me from the musical Waitress. Good song. Oh, wait. I wouldn't say this is heavy rotation. Never mind. I was going to say the new Blink 182 album, but I kind of just listened to it and was like, this is garbage.
I just found the Drake song Passion Fruit, which is really good. But you know, it was just made aware of it. I was like, oh, this is sick. So that's my only Drake song.
But yeah, how does it go? Sing it.
Boom, 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 boom.
Sounds like not a Miles Davis.
Boom, 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 boom. It's sick. It's so good.
I was like,
yeah, that's the one. Yeah. You got it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Big Drake fans here.
He gets TikTok so well.
I did actually. My friend visited the US in like, shit, when was this, 2011 or something? And he had Drake tickets. So I went with him to a show at TD Garden.
You saw Drake?
I saw Drake, yeah, despite knowing no music.
I didn't know that. Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah. I heard that he had some interesting set designs. What or did you experience any of the weird set designs?
I'm trying to remember if there were like, I'm trying to remember if I actually saw it or if I'm conflating it with, my friend saw Kanye a couple years later and he had like a bunch of like floating orbs. I can't remember if Drake had that or I just think Drake had that. I think it was pretty regular. I would say. Yeah. Yeah.
My out of pocket one would be, there's this band out of like the Midwest called Aim for the Bushes that has like,
oh my god,
bro.
Sorry, that's just a shameless plug for my dad's band. He's one
not
man
to be product. Confused with Aim for the Bushes Brooklyn,
which now Taylor has informed me there's an Aim for the Bushes based in Brooklyn who now I have to kill for
piety.
My you know what? You know what's hilarious?
It's not vengeance. It's something else.
I just typed in the words Aim for the Bushes on Spotify, and the only thing under fans also like is Mary Shelley.
Hey, all right. Come on.
That was about right.
Very similar sounds.
That's so funny. Oh, yeah. But I'd say my actual weird one is maybe Gillaband, because I'm not typically a huge noise kind of like. I mean, I think I like noise and stuff like that, but I think we all got to see them recently open at play at Mercury Lounge. And I just think they're like the coolest like band I've seen in so long, where they like play their instruments like differently than most other artists. And I just think that they have like the minimum amount of melodicism that I need for noise, which is just like a little bit of a hook or a little bit of like, you know, like you were saying, like an earworm, something you can at least hum, to then like still like that makes you love the noise even more. So I'd say if anybody's trying to get into more hectic type music that still has a little bit of kind of like maybe poppiness to it, I'd say Gillaband is a good way to start.
Yeah, you mentioned Bambara earlier. Didn't they just open for them?
They did, yeah.
Yeah.
It was an epic night.
Mm-hmm. It was really good. It was really good.
So epic.
They put on a hell of a show. Mm-hmm. We really want to go on a tour opening for them. So I've said it out loud and manifested. we're trying to A, manifest, B, kiss their ass.
It'd be a nice trio. Think of it. Mary Shelley, Bambara,
Gillaband. Yeah.
Come on.
It's a great idea. Mm.
Who are some of your favorite local bands, and y'all can each answer this individually, that you haven't played a show with but really want to?
That's a great question.
Puzzled Panther is sick. See. Rosso Rosso.
Yeah.
Really cool band.
Henry Flower. I really, really, really love. Just really big, kind of more classic pop sounding songs, like kind of like almost like 60s, 70s pop songs with a Springsteen dash. Really, really good.
Gooseberry. I'm boys with them. Mm. And we've never played a show together.
It's crazy. Yeah, we'll fix that. We gotta fix that.
That's crazy, man.
I'm a big fan of this alt metal band called A Deer, A Horse.
Ooh.
They are so fucking good. I love them. And they're like queer and rad. And they just fucking are so like brutal and like, I don't know, I love alt metal lately. They do it well.
Be cool to play a show with this little band LCD Sound System.
I've never heard of them.
Tell me more.
They're like Brooklyn kind of like indie sleaze
revive bomb.
I don't know, a lot of people have a lot to say about their singer, but I think he's all right.
I feel like a lot of people love to rip on LCD, but they made some bangers. Like, I genuinely cry every time I hear All My Friends. Like, I can't help myself.
It's good. Or Oh Baby, that's a good one to cry to. If we're talking LCD cry songs.
I'm a basic bitch with New York, I Love You. That makes me well up a little bit.
Yeah.
That was a good cry LCD song. It's gonna be a playlist we make.
Ooh. LCD cry songs and dance.
You can cry too. Yeah.
LCD cry songs is an elite playlist name.
Yeah. There's like four songs. Just and it's 20 minutes.
Or it's just minutes. Or it's just Daft Punk is playing at my house 20 times.
Mm-hmm. That'll make you cry, maybe.
I will make you cry. If you listen to some reason. Yeah.
No, I'd probably get lit.
Yeah. One of my former friends, I remember they had made a playlist just called Can't Stop Partying, and it was just Can't Stop Partying by Weezer 400 times.
Nice.
Damn. Great. Does that say anything about their mental state and why you're not friends anymore?
I think most...
This is an interview for you now.
Yeah. You know what? That should have probably been the red flag for me. The can't stop partying 400 times. What can I say? When you're wearing rose-colored glasses, red Weezer flags just look like flags.
Wow, that's beautiful.
Oh, that's beautiful.
That album cover is red too, right? Ratitude? I have to look can't this
stop
up.
Partying, thank you.
There's the red album. Is that Rich Ratitude back?
No, Ratitude is the one with the jumping the dog. Yeah. But the logo, the band logo's red. Yeah.
Which they copied from Blur anyway.
Oh. Called out. Called out.
Roll.
If you're wondering if I want you to, I want you to, I want you to. I ain't got all night.
That's a Weezer song?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
I know, you thought it was a Plain White Tees song, but no.
Certainly of that era.
Plain White Tees are playing at LPR like next month, I think. Like, I didn't know I didn't know they still existed.
Bro, I'll go.
At LPR. You guys
wanna
go? Yeah. Cool place.
One night, The Residents. Next night, Plain White Tees.
Damn. We just saw Taylor and I just saw Slowpoke there like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah,
I was there.
Oh, no way!
No way!
Holy shit, wasn't it good?
It was really good. I was actually saying earlier, I think before y'all hopped on, that I was on the baddest of trips at the Haunted Hop at Knockdown Center on Halloween. And seeing Slow Pulp a few days later was the nicest come down. So that was a great show. I love Slow Pulp. Nice.
Glad to hear it. Yeah, they're really good.
Mm-hmm.
I think, what is it, New Media is like my favorite running song.
Yeah, that new album, Yard, is phenomenal. Like, talk about songs you can cry to.
Yeah, man. Yard, I'm like... Do not.
Yeah. Also, when Emily asked the crowd who was on their period and dedicated cramps to them, I genuinely was on my period that night. So I was like,
I was too.
Oh my God.
And it was hurting.
Same girl.
Same girl.
Yeah. That was a great show. And before I let y'all go, do you have any closing remarks for the people?
December 6th at
Our Wicked Lady.
Our Wicked Lady. we're playing the release show. It's going to be crazy.
Then December 1st, our newest single, Star, comes out off our spring 2024 album. Still up in the air when that's coming out. 2024 album that is still untitled. But check out our newest single. It's one of our best on December 1st. And also,
if you like the song, please send it to your closest A&R rep friend
or relative. Yeah.
Or relative. Yeah. Send it to the most famous person you know, the richest person you know, because anybody that has any sort of pull.
But even if you don't have any pull, we want you to listen to it more than anybody.
Yeah.
If you have zero pull, if you don't know a single person and you like this song, that's who the song is for.
I don't know. I think this song is really just for the elite.
This song is for people raised in captivity. It is for people who have.
This
not
is for the Brahmins.
Yeah.
No, JK.
Oh, yeah, you're saying it's for the untouchables.
Yeah, baby.
And also get your shell care before the end of the year, because otherwise the copays are going to go way up. Starting
huge. Then there's tax cuts for that.
And we have a news channel now.
Oh yeah.
Sign up for our newsletter.
Taylor, you have a newsletter. We do have a newsletter.
How do they sign up for our newsletter? Go to our link tree.
It is my dream to have a cable access TV show. If someone can make that happen for us. Yeah, that's it.
Cool. 24 hour.
Amazing.
Yeah. Cable
access news. We should do that.
Have y'all maybe considered naming the album still Untitled?
I think it's been done.
If Kendrick didn't do it, and it was one of your albums.
Oh, yeah, that hadn't occurred to me. Right.
Yeah.
It's kind of a done deal.
Yeah.
We'll call it King Kunta 2.
Unless he wants to name his album finally.
Yeah. Like, I mean, Parquet Courts did Freebird 2, I think, just because everyone would yell play Freebird at their shows. So,
we played a show with Bodega on Saturday, and they were like, any requests? And little did we know they were totally fishing. And of course, you know, we all said Freebird, and then they played Freebird. It was insane. They had it so ready.
I don't know, dude. I don't think they really practiced that one.
Yeah, I don't know if they practiced it either. The guitarist is really good.
Yeah, the guitarist knew it. The singer
the singer knew that the guitar player knew Freebird. Like, and they were like, we can discuss later. They definitely have done that before.
We can ask them.
I feel like it's happened before, but not
too split on this. Ooh.
Yeah, they knew exactly what was coming. They probably rehearsed it one time and called it a day. And that's why it was off.
And that's why it wasn't.
Yeah. They also only played like 45 seconds a minute.
It's not like they did the solo. You know what I mean? It's like the crazy part, which is why I think it was spontaneous.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much once again for hopping on and shooting the shit. I will see you at Our Wicked Lady on the 6th.
Hell yes. Thanks for having us.
Great to see the interview.
Of course. See ya. Thank you so much for listening to Sounding Out with Izzy, and thank you again to Mary Shelley for joining me today. Remember to subscribe and sign up for the mailing list on my YouTube channel and written blog, both under the name A Girl's Two Sound Sense. Give the podcast a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you so much for listening, and I will catch you in the next episode of Sounding Out with Izzy.